All right, y'all ready to believe with me this morning? Believe we can receive what the Lord would have me to share with you this morning? All right, get your believers out there. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the teacher of the church. We receive your gifts, your anointings today upon me and upon the people, upon the ears of your people today, Lord, that they'll hear this word, and this word will be like fire on the inside of them, Lord. Be like fire on the inside of them, Father. It'll just burn out the shaft, burn out all the stuff that, Lord, that's been building up over the years, Father God. We want your word to burn up all the negative stuff in our lives, in our minds right now, so we can see clearly, so your people can see clearly the truths of the gospel that's been hidden. Paul said it's a mystery. What is this mystery? It's the word of God that was hidden, but now revealed to your church so that we can reveal it to the devil and say, hey, devil, I got power. I got authority in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're defeated. That's what that mystery has been revealed, that Satan, you're defeated, and we are blessed. So I thank you for that word this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anybody like a good mystery novel? Well, this word used to be a mystery, but now it's been revealed. Not to everybody, but to those that have ears to hear, the mystery has been revealed. Amen? The title for this message, and I'm going to take you a little bit through last week of what I went through, and maybe what some of you have went through, but there's no relief in unbelief. Can I get a weak amen? There's no relief in unbelief. You say you've got unbelief, Pastor? Yes, I do. Why? Because we live in a world that is thrown at you unbelief 24/7, like a machine gun, bullets out there. And it's words. Words. You can't see words, but you hear words, and your body receives them like an antenna. Amen? But we got a choice to make. Just because they're coming at us, it doesn't mean they have to get in us and stay in us. Amen? See, a sponge, it can sit there and float on that top of that water, but when you squeeze the sponge, then it starts sucking up, you know, what it's sitting on. Well, see, we might be sponges, but we don't have to be squeezed. When you're squeezed, what are you going to absorb? What are you going to saturate? We're going to saturate. When we're squeezed, we're going to let the Word of God come out. That's what we got to do. Amen? We can't let stuff come in. When we get squeezed, we got to let some stuff come out. The good stuff. Good Word. So, I just want to tell you a little bit of my experience this week. And coming here Sunday, you know, Terry called me Sunday. He was hit pretty hard, not feeling good. I didn't want to tell him I was feeling about that high. Couldn't even get out of bed. You know, forcing yourself out of bed. My head's throbbing. I feel terrible. Something just hit me Saturday evening. I was working 8 hours a day. I just started feeling bad. My body was aching. You just wanted to crawl underneath the rock and just stay there. And just tell everybody to hush because your head's going, wong, wong, wong. You know, Rowan's loud to begin with. You know, he just talks and he's loud. And I'm like, Rowan, Rowan, Rowan. But my head was jamming, my sinuses, and I think I had the combination of a flu / sinus. And I just felt bad. But we came here, we pushed our way through and prayed. And, you know, God gives you the grace. I said, he gives you the grace to make it through. But just because things happen doesn't mean we're not supposed to talk about them. See, I experienced pastors, fivefold ministry. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you're going to experience some bad stuff here in this earth because it's polluted. It's dying. It's corrupted ever since 6,000 years ago when the fall began. When Adam and Eve fell, that's when it began. It started working its way in. Well, we've just added to it. You take all the stuff that we make and pollutants and all this stuff that we can't see that's in the air, and our body is a big filter. We're just taking everything in. It's going in. It's coming out. But we've got something that we can still change some things. Amen? It's called the glory of God. Supernatural glory of God that the world don't have. It's called Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Hallelujah. So that's just a little bit of my experience. Saturday hit me. Sunday, made it through church. I went home and I laid down. I didn't feel like eating. I didn't want no food. Monday, you know, you got to eat, but things just didn't taste good. I just didn't want anything. But your body, when it's attacked, it's normally going to go into a fast mode. See, it wants to fast. It don't want food because it's fighting, and whatever's attacking you, it needs all the energy it can not to work on your stomach. It needs to work on these other areas, so it really doesn't want food, which is a good thing. Until about the second or third day, and you know, you try to get up and do something, and you ain't in the Holy Ghost. Your flesh is weak. You're tired. You know, you got to work. You got children counting on you, mama counting on you, your company, your church family. Well, guess what? There's a rest for the weary. I said there's a rest for the weary. So finally, you know, I took a couple days sick day. I got those and wasn't worried about that. But still, you just don't feel good. I guess Wednesday finally rolled around. Then we had all the snow and bad weather going on, which was really a good thing. But usually when I have snow out there, I like to get out there with the kids and watch them and kind of push them around and stuff. But couldn't even enjoy that. Just stuck at home in the snow and not even feeling good. So what was I doing all this time? Well, I'm just going to be honest. I just catered to my flesh. Popped me a Tylenol, lay down, just feel about. I just had me a pity party. I felt so bad. I just hugged myself. You know, I've never felt this bad, and I didn't. I ain't felt this bad in a long since probably born again. Had this bad of a feeling. I had one time when I came back from the beach, just that salt air, it hit me, and I couldn't. I had to go get a shot because my head was just so stopped up. I couldn't even lift my head up without it hurting, but it wasn't that bad. But I just laid around for 3 days, resting my flesh, taking care of my flesh. You get better. You know, you get better. Took Tylenol, drank water, no sugars, you know, just drinking water, coughing, all that nasty stuff. Get up, lay back down. I didn't even feel like getting up and getting water. But I had my church pray. Church prayed for me. My family prayed. I had Rowan come over. I said, son, put your hand right here on my head and pray. Pray. Like you don't know how to pray, just pray. And believing, trusting, knowing God's word. And I was about ready to go to urgent care. I'd done been the week prior because my foot gave me a little problem. And when your feet hurt, you got to get something done, don't you, Lee? Reed. My foot, I mean, I had pain in my foot, and it was just an inflammation, a little flare-up. Got some ibuprofen, and I'd stayed off of it as much as I could that weekend, but that wasn't nothing compared to that next week. And I think the prior week that I think I said in church, we're going to take a flu shot. Spiritually, took a flu shot. Well, I tell you what, once you step out in faith, the devil's right there to try to bust your bubble because he's going to try you at what you believe in. And I really wasn't prepared. Now, I mean, health-wise, I was feeling good, you know, except for my foot. But I wasn't prepared for the battle, Reed. See, now I'm the leader here now. And when something's going bad on the team and you're not doing too good, who does the coach come look to, or who does the owner come look to? It comes to the coach. Coach, what's going on here? Well, I said something out there to the devil. He didn't go to you. He come to me. Because he knows if he can get to me, he can get to you. See, if the pastor's weak, see, he's the head over the church. He's watching over, overseeing the sheep out here. Well, he knocked me down pretty hard. Knocked me down pretty hard. But, Ruthie, come up here a minute. I want to tell you, I learned a little bit from her and didn't really take upon it myself. I still cater to my flesh, but I want you to give you just a quick testimony of what happened to her probably about 4 weeks ago that should have kind of gave me a little pretty ample warning about what I should have been doing. So you got to talk. You got to hear me.
I know. There okay. Now it's back. All right. Well, I guess I'll start from the beginning where it was, I didn't think much about it. It was during exams going on. So it was the night before my math exam. That's when it happened. But the day before that, I had my reading exam. And I usually get up in the morning and I'm like, it's like 5 o'clock. I'm like half asleep, half awake. So, and I needed to wash my hair because it was not looking good. So I went in and I was searching for the shampoo because we have like 5 kids, so we can't really like, we're like low on shampoo. So I'm searching through the house, 5 in the morning, looking for shampoo. And I walked into my, I think it was a kitchen, and on the refrigerator, I just looked up. Like, I don't even know why I looked up, but on top of the refrigerator, there was this little bottle, and it was a shampoo bottle. It was one of those little miniature ones. And I was like, gosh, thank you. And I was like, okay. So I took it to the bathroom, and it didn't look like shampoo. But at the, it's like 5 in the morning, so I didn't really care. It was in a shampoo bottle, so it just had to be. So I put it in my hair, and I was, like, washing. And the suds, what, like, soap comes out, nothing, it wasn't setting up. And I was like, oh, my gosh. But it was, like I said, in the morning, so I didn't care. So I just washed my hair, and I scrunched it, you know, got to look cute. So I went to school, and it didn't dry, like, at all. It looked so bad. I was like, oh, my gosh, I look so bad. So I asked my friend for a hair tie, and that happened. And then that night, so I lay down to sleep, and I didn't pray for sleep. I didn't say anything. I just kind of go to sleep because I've got exam stuff on my mind. I can't. I'm just, okay, I'm going to bed. And I don't know if y'all have ever had that, but have you ever, like, slept but wake up and then go right back to sleep, but you're, like, really tired? Yeah, I had that happen, and I woke up, and I kind of went back to sleep. And I had these chimes on my bed, and, like, usually my cat comes in, and she'll move them, and they make noise. So, and then I heard the chimes. But then by that time, I felt like something just didn't feel right. Like, I can't really explain. It was like my heart dropped, and, like, I didn't know what was happening. So I was just like, I'm just thinking. So I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm sleepy. I want to go to bed. And that happened. And then all of a sudden, it was like I have a fan, and it makes the loudest noise in the world. And it was going as loud as it could. And then I was like, oh, man. I didn't know what to do by then, because all I heard, it was like clinking, 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 clinking. It was going, like, and then all of a sudden I heard voices, like it was saying, let's make it go faster or something. Like, I couldn't even comprehend. By that time, I knew what it was. I knew. I was like, and the only person, the only name that could stop this was Jesus. So I was like, okay, Jesus. And it was like I couldn't speak. It was like something was holding down my tongue. Like, every time I tried to say Jesus, it was like they were holding me back. And I was just like, no. In my head, I was saying, Jesus, Jesus. And then finally, it came out, but as a whisper. And I was like, that ain't good enough. And then suddenly, it was like I woke up. It was like I was in a dream, but it felt so real. And I woke up, and I screamed. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. And I said, get out and never come back. And it worked, because they haven't been back. But it was like, it was like right then, it was gone. It was like that pool in my heart just left. And I asked Dad, and I was like, I don't know. I guess I screamed really loud, because Dad and Mom woke up, and Dad was like, are you okay? I was like crying, because I was never had this happen. And Mom's like, go check on her and everything. And then he trips over the vacuum cleaner coming in, and then he like screams. He's like, Jesus. And so I'm just sitting in the bed, and I'm just in tears, because it's something that I've never been through, some kind of fear that I've never had that happen to me before. I've never had, like, I couldn't do anything, and it was awful. And I was just crying, and I was like, I've cried up here in the glory of God and everything, and it's totally different from crying because of him and crying because of fear, because it's just a whole different kind of, like, crying. It was like I felt so helpless and everything. But then I started thanking God, because I'm like, some people don't know God. And they go through that every night. They don't know how to stop it. And they think it's just something that they've done something wrong, so they're just getting punished for it, and they'll go through it. But I'm just like, just say his name. And, I mean, they have to flee. They can't stay. They have no place. You have authority over everything. And, you know, whatever you say in the name of Jesus, it has to flee. And it shows how. And they come when you're weak, when you least expect it. I was sleeping. I was having a nice sleep. They came when I wasn't aware. They don't come, like, right now when I'm full of this. They don't come. They come when it's dark, and they know dark is kind of like their place. But God is light, so they can't come toward the light. And so that happened, and I was just thanking God, and I was telling everybody, and I was like, he's really here. He is, because, I mean, and that really opened up my mind, because I started getting into the Word, and I started, you know, after that, I was shaken. But then I was like, with God, I cannot be shaken. So I started reading His Word, and I started getting in there, and it was great. And so, maybe.
I'll finish it up for Ruthie. That was pretty good. I thought that was an opportunity. She's been wanting to share that. And we know what we're talking about. We're talking about the devil. We're talking about demons, darkness, and they are. They're cowards. They come when you're weak. See, the Bible says the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He don't come when you fired up in the Holy Ghost and preaching the Word, ministering the Word. No, he waits till you're weak. Till you're asleep, till you're having, you know, just he waits till you're weak. But let the weak, Jesus said, let the weak say, Ruthie became strong. And what she talked about when she thought she was putting shampoo on her hair, she didn't know about probably a month or so earlier when Sherry's brother went into the hospital to the VA. Well, I didn't have a nice little anointed bottle here to put some oil in, so I just took some Wesson oil and prayed over it. No, I'm not Wesson oil, I'm sure I took some olive oil. And I took and prayed, and I poured it in that little shampoo bottle, and I took it with me to the VA and went and anointed her brother. Well, Dad used to set stuff on top of the refrigerator. So that's where that anointed oil was. See, she anointed herself that morning by accident. God knew it wasn't no accident. She poured it, you know, the priest in the Old Testament, they used to take and they pour the oil, and it come down their head and down their beard. That's what she got that morning. She didn't know it. But that anointing was upon her, and it sustained her through that attack, and she woke up once she got her senses and bearings right. See, the Bible says, touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. See, that what the devil, he was trying to put fear and take Ruthie's, probably mess her up on her grades tomorrow, just get her all rattled. He's just, that's all he does. He's a thief. But something rose up on the inside of her. It's called the Holy Ghost, that boldness, the Holy Spirit. And she spoke that night. She took authority. Jesus, they were amazed because they said he were amazed at what he's saying because he speaks as one who has authority. And he does. And you do. And we do. But sometimes we just get saturated in unbelief. And there's no relief in unbelief. And that's what the message is about. So all this time I'm laying around just catering to this flesh when I should have been having my next thing here is, well, everybody pray, but I heard from God. He said, call Andrew Womack Ministries, the prayer team. You know, this church, we're partners with that ministry. And me and my wife, my family, we've been partners with Andrew as long as we were born again. And I called, and I got Mark. I don't know him personally, but, you know, they introduced themselves. He said his name's Mark, and I told him what I was dealing with. And immediately he said, brother, this is for you. He said, this just, the Lord just gave me this. He's given it to me before, but it's been a long time. But he said, I want you to get a picture. Because I told him what I was dealing with. He said, I want you. He said, you got kids? I said, yeah, I got four. And he said, you got any daughters? I said, yeah, two. And he said, well, picture your daughter about 3 years old out in your yard. You're watching. It's a beautiful day outside. She's out there playing in the road, beside the road, playing in the yard, just having a good time, enjoying herself. He said, now see a bully coming up the street, walk up to your daughter and smack her in the face and knock her down in that ditch. And I'm like, yep, daddy's up. We out the door. And what he took me to Matthew 11:12. If you've got your Bible, if not, there's a Bible in front of you, but you might want to take and mark this in your Bible. And he reminded me of Matthew 11:12. This is Jesus talking about John the Baptist. They were cousins. They were relatives. And John was called to prepare the way of the Lord in his ministry. Verse 11 says, assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you, among these born of women, talking about John the Baptist, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God, raise your hand. Those that are least in the kingdom, see, we're least in the kingdom of God. See, that was before the old covenant. That was old covenant. John was a prophet. Now that we're in Christ, we're least in the kingdom of God. We're in the new covenant now. Jesus said, greater There's not risen a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he, because we have great and better promises. And from now, and from these days, verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. See, Ruthie was suffering violence because of who she was in Christ. And the violent, but until now, and the violent take it by force. See, we just can't sit around and be passive about what the devil's coming and taking and stealing, slapping around your little daughter. We just can't say, oh, I'll just pray for him. I know he didn't really mean to do that. You know, I don't want to offend him, go out there and offend him and let him know that I'm a Christian. No, you got to walk out that door and get some respect. You know, if he's a young kid, go to their parents and say, hey, your son just knocked my daughter down in a ditch and I ain't too happy about it. I'm not going to slap you. I love you. You know what I mean? You want to slap them, but you're like, hey, you need to teach your kids how to be respectful. That's love, because you're correcting something that's evil. That's what Jesus is saying here. It's time for the kingdom of God to take some things before us. See, we've got a mystery has been revealed. We have authority over the devil now. When he comes around stealing and knocking things down, we just don't let him have his little rampage. When Jesus, when they brought people to him, some of them are demon-possessed. Some of them just had sicknesses. He healed the sick. But sometimes he cast the old devil out. That was had somebody foaming around, having an epileptic seizure. Sometimes it's the devil. I'm not telling you to go cast devils out of everybody. But Jesus said, shut up and come out, speaking to the devil in that person. And it came out, and the person was in their right mind. So see, we're in a different age now. Demons, they're real. Amen? They're not over in Africa somewhere, north, south. No, they're here. They're in this room right now. They work and they move. But guess what? We can stop them. We have something greater on the inside of us. And they can't, like I say, darkness has no fellowship with light. Amen? Have no fellowship with light. That's what he brought. That's what Mark helped me out that day. See, he gave me a picture, something I could see. I said, yeah, I see it. And then he started praying for me. And then he prayed for me and my family. He said, no sickness is going to come near your... He said, this brother, this is God's property. And he said, Satan, get your hand off God's property. See, he took authority over that situation. But you're like, well, you're a pastor. You know all this. Yeah, I do, but I needed help. See, we need help sometimes. That's why we come to church, to help each other. We're dealing with something. What I needed a word. And as he was praying, I was getting up off that couch. I'd been laying down. Now I got up. And I said, because I felt something. I felt the anointing. But and as I'm praying, I'm like, well, does the prayer here at the church not help? Yes, it did. Y'all's prayers are helping. But see, I'm the one. You're the one. And it comes down to me. I've got unbelief in here. I believe there was a man that cried out, and I think I've got the scripture there. He said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. His son was sick. He said, Lord, if you can do anything, heal him. Jesus said, if you can only believe. If you can believe, all things are possible to those that believe. And the man cried out, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. He knew he had some unbelief in there. And when he cried out, Jesus helped him. See, it's okay to say, hey, Lord, I got some unbelief. I got some things I don't understand. Cry out to the Lord. See, that's what I wasn't doing. I was just crying to my flesh. Your flesh ain't going to help you. It wasn't helping me, but then I cried out. Mark helped me. He gave me a picture. It got me up. And from that point on, I felt better. He spoke to my sinuses. See, he didn't sit and pray. He spoke to certain things. See, we've got to speak to things. Jesus spoke to fig tree. He cursed it. He spoke to sickness. He spoke to disease. He said he cleansed them with his word. People were cleansed by his word, by what he said. He didn't tell them, I love you, you'll be okay. He spoke, he commanded things. Get out of here, be healed, be whole. And it works with forgiveness and thankfulness too. I'm hearing some forgiveness and thankfulness too in a lot of receiving. And dealing mainly with unbelief. Are we getting the picture? There's no relief in unbelief. None whatsoever. So I should have maybe, what I want you to get was, when I called the prayer team, I hooked up to an atmosphere of heaven. Atmosphere is your key. See, when we come in here as a church, I know there's things going on in the world. You know, we're preparing for praise and worship. I'm preparing for the message. But and that's okay. We got to do those things. But we need to be focusing on the atmosphere of heaven. And what I'm saying is on the inside. The kingdom of heaven is on the inside of us. But we got to let it out in here. Amen? Amen? Let that atmosphere out in here. In other words, we can change the atmosphere. We can speak to sun and clouds and things too. You know, Jesus did that too. You got to use wisdom and all that stuff. I'm ready to see some sunshine. We can start speaking to some clouds and command them to leave and for the earth to start drying up. Because see, remember, Satan, he is the little g. He is the god of this earth right now. He's the prince and power of the air. Right now, he still has some authority until Jesus comes back. But we are not, Jesus didn't leave us helpless. He left us with a voice, with power of the Holy Ghost. We can take authority over things. And definitely over yourself. Now, you don't have authority to exert authority over anybody unless they agree with you, but you have authority over yourself. And if you're the husband of the house, you have authority over your house and over your family. Amen? And Jesus has given us authority. So we need to change that atmosphere. And definitely when we come in here, we need to focus on that atmosphere of faith, believing. And yeah, there's unbelief in me right now. But see, I'm focusing on the believing. And what it does, it flushes out that unbelief. Because see, think of a tug of war. Remember when you was in kids, you played tug of war? The strongest class usually won. You know, you pick teams. Well, I got faith. Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea. That changes not. That's the word of God. Right. But if you got unbelief, Jesus said, and many times he went into his own country. He said, I there could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. You hook up unbelief to belief, you're going to lose the battle every time. Because, see, unbelief is there to steal the promises. It's to steal the faith, to suck the faith life out of you. That's what unbelief does. And it's subtle. It's subtle. So we're talking about changing the atmosphere. What are some things I could have done? I didn't pray in tongues that day as much as I could have, too. I prayed some, but praying in your most holy faith. Building yourself. When you pray in tongues, you build yourself up on your most holy faith. What you need to hear, you're hearing from God. You're hearing from heaven. Remembering, it's not what all these things I can do. That's good. We want to do some things. But always remember, it's what Christ has done for me. See, that's where the power comes from. It lies in him. But then I got to do something. I got to stir up that gift that he's given me on the inside of me. That power he's given me. He's not going to come turn my light on for me. All the power has been released from him, from heaven, in that light switch. But I got to go turn the switch on. It's called the switch of faith. And when you turn that switch on, you go in that dark room, you turn the light switch on, darkness, it's always been there, but it has to flee when the light comes on. Amen? Turn that light of faith on. So unbelief, there's no relief. Mark 9:24. I told you that I opened up with that. Mark 9:24. Or did I? Let me go back here a minute. I might have not even spoke about it. Yeah, that's what I mentioned. Talking about immediately the Father. Jesus said, because his child was, he asked for help, and his disciples couldn't help him. Jesus said, bring him here to me. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Mark 9:23. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears. Ruthie was crying that night. Said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. See, he had a problem, and he didn't know how to handle it. And he was tired of it. It had him in tears. And Jesus, when Jesus saw that the people came running, see, he said something loud. See, Jesus has the atmosphere of heaven right there with that guy. He's got one-on-one. He's getting ready to minister to this guy. And when he cried out like that, the crowd heard that, and they turned. Now they're coming to see what's going on over here. Jesus didn't give them time. He didn't get that atmosphere of unbelief time to come around. What did he do? He says, when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked that unclean spirit, talking to this boy. He said, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Boom. Jesus didn't, he didn't say, Peter, James, John, get together, we're having a prayer meeting. No, he commanded that unclean spirit to come out, and it had to. And it tore the little boy a little bit and came out, but it came out. Jesus answered that father's prayer. Mark 6:6, we're talking about there's no relief in unbelief. Mark 6, and these are just a few scriptures to show you how you can handle unbelief. Mark 6:6, Verse 5 says, talking about Jesus, he could do no mighty work there, talking about his home country, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their what? Unbelief. Jesus marveled. They've heard all the stories that Jesus was doing. He was from their hometown. They should believe and trust in the Lord. But the Bible, Jesus says that a prophet's not welcome in his own country because they're familiar with him. They couldn't comprehend that Jesus could be this prophet, this great prophet. Nonetheless, even be the Son of God. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about the village in a circuit. But he didn't stop there. He marveled at their unbelief, but how did he counter that unbelief? And he went about the village in a circuit teaching. So you need to teach the word to drive out unbelief. You got to teach about it. Why am I having difficulty here? I need to minister and go to church. Pastor needs to be teaching about something to help you get you out of something. Amen? It's about unbelief. John chapter 20. I feel an atmosphere of faith here. We driving out unbelief this morning. John chapter 20. This is going to help you. It's going to help me. John chapter 20, verse 27. Jesus said to Thomas, "Reach your finger in here, Thomas, and look at my hands, Thomas. Reach your hand in here and put it in my side. Do not be, what? Unbelieving, but believing." In other words, get this unbelief out, Thomas. If you got to take your hand and stick it into my side, and, you know, Thomas said, "I won't believe unless I see. Unless, you know, the Lord's risen. Unless he come and show me the handprint, the nail print in his hands, I won't believe." Thomas chose not to believe. Jesus didn't give up on the boy. He said, I'm gonna show up and I'm going to show him. And finally, Thomas bowed before the Lord that day and said, ask for forgiveness. See, forgiveness. He had to forgive that unbelief. Lord, forgive me for that unbelief, that doubt. You can say doubt and unbelief, same thing. Doubt and unbelief, they work hand in hand. And Jesus wants to be believers. He wants believers to believe in, right? And don't want that unbelief to get in there. A couple more. Romans 11, Romans chapter 11. No relief in unbelief. I thought about the old Alka-Seltzer commercial. Pop, pop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. You think about what you need for your body. Well, there's no relief in that. It might feel good for a while, but you need to get the Word of God in you and use it like a sword. Romans chapter 11, verse 23. Look at verse 22. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fail severity, but towards you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Verse 23, and they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Here Paul is talking about the Gentiles and the Jews. Salvation coming to Christ, but he's talking about they couldn't come in the Old Testament. They wouldn't receive God's promises because of the hardness of their heart. They were thinking about Egypt, going back to Egypt. And he said they couldn't enter into the promised land because of their unbelief. Couldn't enter into the promises of God. It hasn't changed. It's still the same. Flip back over to Matthew a little bit. A couple more and we're going to be closing up here. You know, a lot of times before we can get healed, we got to get opened up. The doctor's got to open you up and find something. Sometimes they can't see everything. What I'm doing to you this morning is Jesus wants you to know there's sometimes you can't understand why something ain't working. You got unbelief in there. You got to get it out. You got to take the knife and cut it out of your body, but you got to get it out. Might take unforgiveness to get it out. Whatever it takes, just get it out. Amen? Let the word be your sword, be your suture in the surgeon's hand. What I say, Matthew 9, Matthew chapter 9, thank you, Lord, verses 1 and 2. So Jesus got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. He was born in Concord. He came over to Concord that morning. And the people heard about him. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, faith can be seen, he said to the paralytic, he didn't say nothing about the paralytic's faith, he just said he saw their faith. He had to have some faith because he let them crazy friends of him take him to Jesus, and they were trusting. They took him out of the hospital and took him on the road. We're going on the road to find a doctor. We're getting out of the hospital. Sometimes you might need to change doctors, amen? I'm talking about physical doctors, but also if you're not trusting Jesus, trust him to be your main doctor. Said, son, Jesus saw their faith and said, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. Who can forgive sins in the earth but God? See, they didn't say Jesus is God. But see, that's what I want you to see this morning at communion. Jesus saw their faith and said to the paralytic, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. He didn't speak to his body and say, legs, be healed. I command you and rise up. No, he said there was something there that was keeping him paralyzed. That boy was thinking about his sins. See, Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew that paralytic's thoughts. He said, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. And when he heard that, see, that was a word. See, I needed to see that picture of Ruthie being knocked in a ditch to get me up. So he needed to hear that his sins were forgiven. He didn't say it because, Jesus didn't say it because of the crowd trying to teach them. He's trying to get the boy healed. Your sins are forgiven. Get up. And the boy got up. Got up off of that bed immediately. Paralyzed from birth. Got up. Because nobody had ever told him that his sins were forgiven. All he ever heard was the law. How bad of a sinner you are. I mean, he was paralyzed from birth, but then he just kept hearing about, well, I guess this is why I am what I am. Because of all this sin that's in the world. I mean, it was probably affecting him, yeah, but to have somebody say, son, your sins are forgiven. That's what he was thinking about that morning. What was you thinking about this morning when you came into church? What do you think about right now? Hear this. You're forgiven. Amen? You're forgiven. Your body needs to hear that. Your bank account needs to hear that. Amen? Your family needs to hear that. Your family's outlaws need to hear that. You're forgiven. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That makes me happy. Because see, unworthiness, somebody tells you you're not worthy. My dad told that to me and a lot of my kids, that we were the reason of why he wasn't successful. It's your fault I didn't make the band. You know, he played instruments. He didn't get that big. It's your fault that I didn't make it into, he got hurt playing football. It was always somebody else's fault, never his fault. See, that's wrong. You're blaming somebody else. Adam and Eve, they played the blame game. God, it's that woman you gave me. Lord, it's that snake. See, always just ask for help. Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Boom, he'll help you. He'll show you. And he'll say, get it out of there. Now, get up. I want to close with Mark 4. Matthew, Mark 4. This okay? Everybody feeling all right? Feeling forgiven? You feeling forgiven? You feeling some relief? Anybody had any sinus problems coming in here this morning? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Mark 4. Mark 4, verse 21 through 25. Everybody got your basket out? Get your basket. Mama, look up here at me now. Y'all got y'all's basket? All right, everybody got their basket. Jesus said to them, is a lamp brought and put to you under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but it should be brought into the light. If anyone has ears to hear, say, I have ears to hear.
I have ears to hear.
And he said to him, take heed what you hear. I'm going to say that again now. You just said, Lord, I have ears to hear, right? And Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Talking about unbelief. We're talking about unbelief this morning. Take heed what you hear. This is Jesus. He said this. With the same measure you use that hearing for, it's going to be measured back to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Do we want to hear what Jesus is saying? Or do we want to hear what the world's saying? Because I tell you right now, just watching TV, we don't have cable right now. We got a dispute with cable. They didn't treat me right. So we fine with just regular TV. Just call me the Me TV channel. We like the memorable television. Andy, Barney, the Brady Bunch, all them crazy bunches back then with the brown TVs and the brown refrigerators and the green bathrooms, all them old colors. But I tell you what, and some of the garbage you turn on, but even just the commercials, it's all about medication, Zantac and Zortor, and I can't even pronounce all these words. What happened to aspirin and Tylenol and just, you know, take an aspirin a day. How about an apple a day to keep a doctor away? I started eating a lot more apples and oranges this past week. Because when I was trying to get this 260-pound body up, it wasn't feeling good. I said, Lord, I'm going to work on my body. And I started getting in the refrigerator, and I apples and oranges instead of going for the Cheerios and the other sugar stuff I was going for. But I'm making a purpose here to change some things, start eating a little bit better. Where was I going with that? Talking about what we hear, what we see on TV, all this unbelief, prostrate, all this prostrate medication. Rowan's already ever talking about that. He said, dang, we ain't getting that. When I get older, I ain't going to have a problem going to the bathroom. And all this, see, these are, what are we hearing? See, that's what the companies do. They're trying to sell you something. Well, to sell you something, you got to have something. I'm not expecting that. God says, told me in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the future I have for you, a bright future. Doesn't have prostrate problems in it. Doesn't have high blood pressure, low blood pressure, good cholesterol, bad cholesterol. They're saying now that it's okay to have cholesterol. Y'all heard? I got it. I like it. Amen. Just take things in moderations, right? We're kind of getting things way out of balance. Well, you get way out of balance, we'll make a pill for it. Don't worry about it. There's too many pills out here. Amen? Way too many pills. There's a lot of people addicted to these pills. I'm talking about in my family, close family, pain pills. All just kind of, and Sherry's brother, the main, he was having problems with his liver because of medication. A lot, you know, he went to the doctor, but all the medications he was on, they were messing his liver up. So they finally got him to wait, got some things straightened out. See, it's not about medicine. It's about wisdom. You know, pray that you get a good doctor, but still get out of that unbelief. Start trusting God. Put that bottle down. Say, Lord, if I die 80, I'll take 80. But Lord, I ain't going to struggle with all this medication. It's going to take me out earlier. All these side effects. You got something fighting you. You take that medication, you got six things coming against you. They tell you on there. I'm like, good Lord. Unbelief. See, we're saturated. We're baptized in unbelief. Just turn the TV on. Turn the radio on. But see, that's where we got to change our atmosphere. We got to turn that channel. Turn it off or turn it to something good. You know, Dr. Oz, at least watch Dr. Oz or something. It's teaching you something good about your body. Dr. Phil, sometimes he's good, but then you can get into all these family arguments and, you know, what's the solution, love? Call me. You can send your money to our church. Love is the answer. It ain't the easy answer, but it's the right answer, right? Yes. Love is the answer. It covers a multitude of sins. Sin of unbelief. Did I even finish? Jesus said, for whoever has, to him more will be given. You got more unbelief? You keep hearing it? More is going to be given to you. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. In other words, we need faith. We need to be hearing faith. We need to be hearing God's word. See, that day, and I knew this, if I went back to when I was first learning the word, you know, put you on a good praise and worship CD, just music playing, or just Benny Hinn used to have some good ones, just worship music. Just let that atmosphere, just change the atmosphere. Because we'd have people come to our home when we got born again and just got into Word, and we was up till 1, 2 o'clock at night studying the Bible and then going to work the next day, and we'd have people come over and say, man, it's just peace in this home. And we're like, then you could actually tangibly touch that atmosphere of peace. Because it used to be, you know, we used to argue and fuss and fight. Those devils are right there just sitting around having their snacks on our table, you know. But then faith arose. Jesus came, cleaned out that house. So they had to get out of the house. See, but we got to keep them out. Because remember, they're thieves. Thieves don't just knock, do they? They kick the door in. They coming in while you're sleeping. See, we have to keep our house cleaned out. See, the devils, they come through walls, right? Remember, they're spirits. But God has angels. And we have the greatest spirit living on the inside of us. He's called the Holy Spirit. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's on the inside of us. So it doesn't matter where we go. We have Him on the inside of us. And He's our helper. He's our advocate. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Close your eyes this morning. Close your eyes. Hallelujah. Because I want you to be seeing Jesus this morning. I want you to close these physical eyes, and our ears are open to hear Him this morning. We've heard Him this morning. And I'm going to speak to some unbelief. There's still some here that's got to go. And God has given me authority over this church and over the people that come into this church. And I'm going to speak to some old unbelief. We're going to speak to some devils this morning and tell them where they're supposed to be. So, Father, I just thank You right now, Lord, for the gift and anointing of the Holy Ghost. I thank You, Father God, for Your people that by faith, Lord, they walked in this door expecting to hear from You today. And I thank You, Father God, that they have heard, they have ears to hear, and they have heard the Word of God. And the Word is like medicine, Lord. It's like medicine. Lord, we have taken some medicine this morning, some good medicine. It don't have side effects. Well, maybe it does. Maybe a little jumping and a little bit of shouting might have to come out this morning. That's a good side effect because that means I'm up and I'm feeling good. So we thank You, Lord, for Your medicine that brings health to our bodies. That, Lord, we live long and we live strong here on this earth. That, Lord, this is Your church. You have called Your church and set Your church to be a city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hid. We will not hide the glory of God. Lord, this is Your church, and we love You, and we thank You for Your glory. We thank You, Father God, for Your glory, for Your presence this morning in Your people. And right now, I speak to unbelief. Any unbelief in the minds of Your people right now, I command it to go in the name of Jesus. I command it to go, and I command it to leave, and I command it to stay gone right now in the name of Jesus. Any fears of doubt or unbelief, any fears that I'm not going to make it, I command you to leave right now in the name of Jesus. You will be a success. You will succeed in the kingdom of God. You can do all things through the anointed one, through Christ Jesus, who has set you free. You are a blessing to your community. You're a blessing to your family. And you're a blessing to your parents. And I don't care what the devil says. He's a liar and he's the father of them, but we don't serve him. We serve God the Father, not God the Godfather. We serve God the Father, and He's a good Father. I said He's a good Lord, and He has given us freely all things here on this earth that we can prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. So I speak life to each and every individual right now. I speak hope to futures that people were not. I speak hope to futures right now. Don't give up on your future because Christ is in it. He's given you the power and ability, and don't give up hope on your children or your grandchildren right now. They're a blessing. They've been called by God. You show them the way. You've showed them the way. You've put the Word in there. Now, speak to the devil. You have authority over the devil in their lives. You can bind the principalities and powers of the darkness right now in the name of Jesus. And you can intercede. You can be an intercessor. Be an intercessor. Don't let the devil tell you you can't do something. You can. Jesus said you can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. So we thank You for strength right now, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for strength. Lord, I thank You for Tammy right now, Lord. She's a fighter. Lord, Tammy Reed, she's healed. She is the healed. She's blessed from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Father. I anoint her husband this morning right now in the name of Jesus. When he walks in that house, there's nothing but peace in that house. There's nothing but joy in that house. There's nothing but healing in that house because healing is the children's bread, Lord. He's taking that bread this morning, and they're one body. I said they're one body, devil. They're one body, and that body is sanctified. It's set apart. It's glorified right now in the name of Jesus, and you will not, Satan, you will not have a step in this life right now in the name of Jesus. We declare complete restoration quickly right now. I command fevers to go. I command sinus infections to open up right now, Lord, that her body be renewed right now, be renewed in strength right now. And Father, we thank you, Jesus. Your word is forever settled in heaven. We thank you for that right now. And Lord, for Michelle and Mark, that Lord, for her brother Jimmy, Lord, we speak life to him. We bind the principalities and the power of the air right now, wherever he is, that Lord, he has heard the gospel, that he hangs on to that hope that's been set before him, that he has a bright future, that he's not going to die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And we just stand in agreement right now, Lord. You have given us power over death. Jesus, you have defeated death, hell, and the grave. So Satan, you're defeated. They will not die. He will not die, but he will live. And we thank you, Father God, for good doctors right now that get things straightened out. Lord, if there's been something, some imbalance in the chemicals in his body right now, Lord, we pray for a pH balance right now in the name, and for a sound mind, Lord. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. We speak to a sound mind to him right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.